This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, every year, the Royal Institute of Architecture Ireland Simon Door Open Campaign gives homeowners the chance to sit down with a registered architect for expert advice. And there's a donation involved, it's €125, but that goes directly to the Simon Communities of Ireland to support people experiencing or at risk of homelessness. It's 22 years old, this campaign. It's raised €1.5 million and it continues to grow. Well, one of the voices within the campaign is architect and RIAI spokesperson Dermot Bannon, who's here.
Good
Hello.
Morning. You've done my job for me.
I've done your job. Now we can talk about all the other stuff.
We can talk about everything else.
Yeah. You've been doing this for years. Have you been involved from the
20 years?
Yeah, a long time.
I've been doing them since, I think it's about, where I can't remember, is it 21 or 22 years? So I've been involved for 22 years and I wasn't well known before. That's why I was just an architect giving out consultations. And then as I became more well known, they asked me would I get involved, and I've been involved ever since. Mm-hmm. And I love doing it.
And it's hugely popular. And it's the €125 for an hour or so with an architect.
An hour with an architect. So architects up and down the country give up all their time in 1 hour slots. And it's kind of an ask me anything. And they're delighted to do it. And they're delighted to be asked absolutely anything. It could be just literally, I want to take down this wall. I think it's a bit of storage. I think it's brilliant for people who might feel slightly intimidated that their problem is too small for an architect, that I'm not going to waste their time. We're happy to have our time wasted because the money is all going to the Simon community. It's nice if you get a job out of it, but nobody's expecting it. They're all doing it for a good cause. So please, if you have any questions about anything.
Yeah, but you need to get on and do it now, because what you'll find is, and I've always checked this every year when I've spoken to you, I check
what's going on,
have a look, and it's booked out.
Yes.
Now, it won't be yet, but people need to, and it'll be depend on where you are and all of that.
And it's not running until it's the 13th till the 19th of April. So you still have a bit of time, but do log. If you want to get the architects that you want, do it early, you know, because they'll all sign up and the architects will go. And you know something, even towards the end of the campaign, if you'd like to talk to somebody and the nearest person is not within travel distance, you can still do a Zoom call or a Teams call with them. You can still get the information off them. You can send them on stuff beforehand and they'll look through it and they'll give you good advice. I've done them on Teams calls before and it works just as well.
Okay, so that's the Simon Communities campaign, which has been running for so long now, 22 years of hugely successful. It's called Open Door. How are you?
I'm great.
It's lovely to see you.
And lovely to see you too.
When it comes to renovating houses, getting work done, I mean, the prices have just gone up so much since the war in Ukraine started.
A lot of people have started to level off a little.
Yeah,
because I'm lucky I have Claire Irwin, my resident QS, and she's brilliant at updating kind of costs and tenders and all that. So actually, this is the first year in Dublin and most of the counties, there's still a couple of counties where it's still rising, but that it's levelled off. We're at 0% inflation in construction. So things are settling down.
Right. Still expensive, but settled at a high level. And now we have another war to contend with.
So God knows what will happen now because of oil prices and everything needs to be shipped and moved. And And everything is manufactured using oil. So like that's the big problem.
But we've come through such a difficult period because people will have saved X amount of money to get their job done and then it won't touch the sides of it.
No. Well, it depends. That's why I suppose a designer is a good person to get in, because we all have in our heads what we should do to our house. We'll extend out here, we'll retrofit, we'll do that. And you know that that's going to cost a set amount of money. But there's other ways to do things. There's, you know, maybe there's rethinking how you might do things or compromising or doubling up the use of rooms. So maybe, okay, you mightn't be able to afford the extension, but you could do something that will liberate a bit of space and kind of do what you need at the house to do. I did a consultation with a couple last week and they went in and they said, look, we want to build the back of the house was really grim. It was an old Victorian house. So you know where you have the little return out the back and the ceiling heights are really low. I said, we want to extend this right out because we've no decent kitchen. And then they told me their budget. And I said, guys, you don't even have enough to do up the existing house. And that was in bad condition. So I said, like, temporarily, why don't you move your kitchen into one of the big rooms?
Into the front of the house.
And then because you'll use it then. So, and they said, actually, we never even thought of that.
It's hard to get your head around that, though, isn't it?
It is.
The kitchen at the front.
But if you see it, but what happens is if they had, there was just the two of them in the house, if they put the big extension on the back, they would have lived in the extension and never used the two nice rooms in the old period house.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something temporary until you can afford to do the extension and enjoy the house.
Right.
You
know, have they gone off to think about that?
They're going
to
just do it.
Oh, they're going to do it, aren't
they? Going to just do it. Because the thing is, like, life is short, and to save up enough money to do an extension could be 4 or 5 years' time. And why not enjoy the house? Do what you can do. So that's where a designer will come in and kind of help you to think outside the box and think, actually, because it's about now. It's what can I afford to do now that'll make, like, some of the rooms will have fantastic light, they'll have lovely proportions. Use them. You know, don't keep them as good rooms if you don't need them.
Yeah. Listen, I read in the Sunday Independent at the weekend about James Brown's plan to change the rules, relax the rules around one-off housing.
Yes.
He says this is coming within the next 12 weeks. He says his logic around it is it's very hard for people to stay in their own communities. And we'll have heard this anecdotally over the years.
Yeah.
But also that there's disparity around the country. You know, different areas are doing different things. They have different rules.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea overall?
Last time we had a chat about this, I got into huge trouble.
Oh, did you? Oh, here we go again.
It was all about sheds in the back garden becoming houses, and I think my Instagram blew up. So I'm going to do it again.
Do it again. Go for it.
Again, I just think it's a small part of the problem. Like, not everybody has parents who have a farm. Not everybody has, land that they can build on. Not everybody has land that they should build on. You know, I just think it's kind of it's nonsense, really. I think there is huge difficulties with people getting planning in rural Ireland. And there's people of a genuine need because their parents are living there. They might be working on a farm or working in the community, teaching in schools. And yes, they need to get houses. But the problem is that it's the planning system is so overstretched that there's so many systems and checks have to go into place if you're building a house, right? So if you're building in a one-off house, there's traffic, there's roads, there's drainage. And we've seen what happened over the last couple of months with flooding and houses, people building on floodplains. You have to go through all those systems and checks and kind of liberalising it. What will that do? Does that mean that people will end up with water coming up as far as their fireplace or their stove?
I suppose it solves a problem for a very small
minority.
There's also an issue with one-off housing and electricity costs, connectivity in general.
Everything,
right?
And footpaths and roads. Like, just for example, and my mum and her sister will kill me for talking about this, but my mum's sister lives in the family home, which is a farmhouse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my mum lives in Malahide in a village, okay? So her sister lives where my mum grew up, which many people would think is ideal. It's in the middle of the country, beautiful views. It's the place I went on my holidays every single summer. It's a place close to my heart. But she's stranded there. She can't, there's no footpaths. If she wants milk or anything like that, she has to ring somebody to bring her down to the shops. My mum walks everywhere. You know, she's living in a town in a small village that has kind of, that's what people don't think about. If we were to throw money at it or energy at it, we should be looking at our small rural towns and villages and maybe building housing that people want in the village so that they can walk to the pub, they can walk to the coffee shop, their kids can walk to school. A lot of what we do tends to push people out and then spend a huge amount of time in the car and sometimes when they get a bit older, isolated.
But if you're a politician relying on votes, you're giving people what they want.
Yeah, but that's not what the country needs. And we don't do that. We need to start really properly planning our country. And, okay, one-off houses, a small minority. Sheds in the back garden, a small minority. But for the rest of us, you know, for the rest of us who need houses and for kids who need houses, proper solutions and proper planning. That's an easy, it's low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that will appease a huge amount of people vote-wise. But is it the right thing for Ireland? No.
Well, the right thing for Ireland, going back to what you said about the towns, is to reinvigorate those towns. Your heart would be broken driving through small towns
and
that
see
are empty.
Everything boarded up, shops empty, and you've got all these beautiful streets. And some of them are like Temple Moor, say, for example. I drove through it on the way to Barsalee for a whole year, and it was one of the nicest streets in Ireland, big wide street, and you can imagine a market in the middle of it 100 years ago, and it's empty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are towns like Youghal, towns like Fermoy, look where it is happening, Dungarvan, Westport, like where it isn't reinvigorated, they're amazing places to live.
But why can't we solve that problem? What is it? Because everybody
planning,
says
so that planning, means planning,
really,
planning.
Okay.
We have
talk to me.
So, like, there's more planners working in the private sector than there is in the public sector. Planners in this country are bogged down with appeals. They're just doing paperwork. Mm-hmm. We've nobody said, I'd love to see, trebled. The numbers of planners in this country trebled. So they're actually sitting there. Say Copenhagen, for example, right? They sit down and there's people just paid to come up with a plan for it. Then they put it into a big warehouse, big models. They have virtual reality. People go in and see it. And that's when their chance is to object. Okay. So they'll say, right, no, I don't want that there. Oh, hold on a second. The reason we're putting it there is because that will facilitate a new university here and that will facilitate a park here. Okay. Maybe you're right. And then once it's kind of signed into legislation, that's it. You can't object. Because you had your chance to. We kind of put together a development control plan and we are so bogged down with people objecting to everything, which they have the right to. But I think if we engage with people early mm-hmm. on and really plan our towns and cities, like we have one of the smallest populations in Europe.
Did we not have a big Planning Act change, though, under Dara O'Brien when he was in housing? And did that not go?
No.
I can see your face, right? Yeah, didn't no, work.
Well, has it changed? Are we still talking about the same things?
Well, I'm hopeful that maybe change is coming, that planning has been addressed in some way, shape or form. But you're telling me
there's no big
hasn't.
Vision. There's okay. no big vision for Ireland, Inc. There's no big vision for Dublin. There's no big vision for, and it is, as you said, the Minister Ten Wexford, no offence or anything like that. But like, we need to focus on our cities. That's where jobs are. That's where work is. That's where cultural centres are. That's where cinemas and we don't, like Dublin, Cork. Dublin is a little bit forgotten at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like when you walk around Dublin, like that's as derelict as some of the...
Well, we had Roisin Murphy in here talking about that, and she took a case study of one shop on Dorset Street, which had decided to close. But she spoke as well about...
The bike shop.
Yeah, the bike shop. Yeah. But, you know, the city losing its heart.
Yes.
You know, when that happens, when a little shop like that closes down, it takes so much with it.
Yes, and the shop next door then closes. Like, that's where... none of us go to Paris to go out to the suburbs. We go to Paris to walk around its historic core. Our historic core is so tiny now that, like, mm-hmm. within a kilometre of the Liffey, we have dereliction. And, you know, like, especially the north side of Dublin, we're not minding our city.
But is a lot of that down to how we behave as consumers?
Yes.
Where we all go out to the big shopping centres?
It's not how we behave as consumers. I think it's how we think about our city.
And online shopping, of course.
Well, no, shopping is going to change. Like, say, for example, like, when's the last time you saw an Extravision? You don't. Things do change and times move on and retail will change and it is going online. But we still need to connect with each other. The reason we go into... to collect together is for entertainment, for like people still go and get their nails done, they go and get their hair cut. That won't change. So there's things that we'll always need to go out. We need to focus on why do people want to collect. Like, we're in the heart of Dublin City here. If you walk during the summer down Drury Street or anything like that, and mm-hmm. it's jam-packed, it's thronged and people are giving out, but there's too many people out there. But that's a vibrant city. Why is in Dublin should that not be kind of across a whole quarter of it? You know, understand what people go into the city for and build for it. And let's stop flogging a dead horse with retail and all that. Retail will always be there to a certain extent, but it's not why people want to go into towns. They want to go into town to meet each other and to collect together and maybe go to a comedy club, maybe go to a pub, get lunch, go for a coffee and all of those things. Go to the theatre.
But they also need to want to live there.
Yes, and that's what we need to change, our mentality. I did a survey over Christmas with the Independent, and I asked how many people in Ireland want to live in a city. 63% said no. They would rather live in rural Ireland. And we've fallen out of love with our cities. We've fallen out of love. We see it as kind of...
They want to live in rural Ireland in a one-off house.
Yes, they do. And because we see kind of living in a city as a compromise. We see living in a city in Ireland as something you have to do for work or something you have to do because of something else, mm-hmm. not because you want to. Like, if you go to any of the other major... Like, go to New York. Where is the most popular place to live? Manhattan. Right in the city. No gardens, no nothing. Parkland. And the same happens in a lot of really successful European cities. We need to shift our mindset. We need to love our city. We need to provide proper urban spaces, proper parks. Like, how long are they talking about pedestrianising College Green? Like, since I've become an architect, and that's a long time now. When are we going to start thinking about how people use the city and enjoy the city? And once we start doing that, things will shift.
They're all supporting you here.
Oh, are they?
On
okay, I didn't know what you were going to say.
No,
you were
no,
looking
no.
at the screen, I think.
No, everyone's agreeing with you that I can see so far. Although yeah. the one-off housing people now will be onto us.
Yeah, well, I don't.
But you're not. You don't have an issue with every one-off house before they start coming at you.
No, I just think there's such. I love living in a city. I love living in a community. I love living. I grew up in Malahide, was a village. I loved that. I think there's so much to collective living that we just don't get because it's never been done properly in Ireland. It's never been looked at, looked after, you know, proper neighbourhoods that, you know, walkable cities. Like my idea of utopian Ireland is to get up in the morning, walk to work, a 15-minute walk, get to an office, you pass parks, you pass playgrounds, you pass, you grab your cup of coffee on the way, you might buy a newspaper. That's a utopia. Why can't we? We've the lowest population of Europe. We've the lowest density of Europe. We've the highest GDP. What is wrong with us?
What is wrong with us, Sister Dermot Madden? That's a great way to end it. Thank you so much. And let's not forget the Simon Open Door
campaign. RAI, Simon Open Door. So you can log on to, if you just Google Simon Open Door, book your consultation. All the money is going to the Simon community. They need us. This is their biggest fundraiser of the year. So they need the money.
Dermot, thank you so much. Lovely to see you. We'll take a break.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.